following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Well, another classic promised coming your way. The best of over 11 years of podcasting. Jeez. I mean, I don't know. What do we got? 2,500 shows? More? All right. So, you know, it's got to be good. First, Pure Talk USA with AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile. Huh? Are you using them? Are you paying too much for them? Pure Talk USA uses the exact same network as they do. Same tower, same coverage, but literally costs half as much. I'm a customer. I kept my phone. You can keep your phone. They just send you the SIM card. You get the same service. It's the same, exactly same as it was before, for half the price. I was talking to the owner, and I was like, how do you do this? And he said, oh, no. I thought they had their own cell towers up or something. It was their own network. No, it's the networks you know. It's half the price. Unlimited talk and text, 2 gigs of data, just $20 a month. The average person saves $400 a year. Why not? Why not save money? You don't have to pay for all these billion-dollar campaigns. You see these commercials all over the place. The customer service is in the U.S., and the CEO is a veteran who understands what it means to serve. Pure Talk, right, Dawson?
Get unlimited talk, unlimited text, plus 2 gigs of data. All you need to do is grab your mobile phone, dial #250 and say keyword Adam Carolla. That's #250 and say Adam Carolla. And when you do, you'll save 50% off your first month.
Hello and welcome back to Carolla Classics for August 6th, 2020. The show where we highlight some of the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show. The Adam Carolla Show is on break. It returns this Tuesday. So Gio and I are taking over and playing you some amazing clips from the show's history and giving you a glimpse of how the Adam Carolla Show started and continues to thrive. My name is Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another great episode of Classic Clips.
I love it. And yesterday, we played some of the first episodes of the show. We stuck in 2009. And today will be no different as far as the first couple of clips, because this one, we're going to play you the second episode of the Adam Carolla Show ever. And this one features Adam's partner in crime, Dr. Drew.
Adam and Drew knock over banks. They're literal criminals, as Chris is implying. Adam Carolla Show Episode 2. We were going to play it yesterday, but we've done 1, 2, 3 in order before, so it felt kind of played out. So it's like, yeah, let's just jump ahead, and then we'll come back to this one tomorrow. This is the second episode with Dr. Drew, Adam Carolla in his bathrobe, trying to get everybody to get out of the way so he can record, because his family just doesn't yet understand he now works from home. And these early first 30 or so podcasts were done from Adam's home, and this is one of them. Adam is telling Drew about the difficulties that I think Drew is now facing as he's trying to do a lot of his broadcast with his wife from home. It's quite funny. Check it out.
Hey, Chickapees. Ace Man here with my good friend Dr. Drew. By the way, Dr. Drew can be found on VH1's Sober House, MTV's Sex with Mom and Dad, and soon to be found at the bookstores with the Mirror Effect. Good to see you, Drew.
Good times.
I want to say something. First off, thank you. All my minions, probably minions, right?
Yeah.
All my minions out there. That's what I like about working with Drew as opposed to Bonaducci. Because I'd say, Danny, did I mispronounce that? And he'd be like, I'll kick your ass. I'd be like, all right. All my minions out there, you have gotten us to over 200,000 podcasts. Well, over 200
nice.
Podcasts of our very first one, which
well
was
done.
Yesterday,
That's
and I
amazing.
Wasn't even funny. And
is that unusual? this one's going to be funny.
Get prepared. we have to go buy more bandwidth. So I want to thank, again, Giovanni and all the folks out there in Carolla Nation, although I know that sounds retarded, who got on the internet. And obviously, you guys went out and went door to door. You did something. You did
Twittered.
You did the equivalent of version of going door to door. You did the internet version of it because 200,000, well over 200,000, could not have been done without you. So thank you. And it is for that reason we're back again.
Sure wasn't the one guy named Lou just doing it over and over again?
I'm sure. Yeah. Okay. I'm sure it was my dad.
Yeah.
You know
Oh,
him.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure your dad.
He was on the computer.
Oh, my God. That's the funniest thing
I've
heard.
Here's how confident.
Wait, on the computer already.
Right,
forget it.
Watch this. Watch this. Here's how confident I am. Right. Here's A, how confident I am. My dad will never hear this. And B, how much I love the internet. Dad, fuck you. Fuck you. I'm not yours, by the way.
Let's keep going.
Do you know that? Obviously, I'm not yours.
Well, let's keep going down this
decent path. Looking.
All those years
I make money
of the after-hours conversation on the freeway. We talk on our phones as we drive home. About your grandma, this is your chance.
Oh.
Or your mom. Let's bring your mom
old
in.
Cunt. Jesus Christ.
God.
And by the way, we're looking to get sponsorship.
And by the way, Michael Nairn, let's turn this into a cartoon, can't we?
All right. So, Dr. Drew, you're heading off to work.
Old
job.
Yes.
In a couple of few.
That's right. What the hell is that?
I'm going to...
Is this the intro music?
This is what drives me insane in life.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Drives me insane in life.
Just let me paint a picture here.
Drives me insane in life.
Ace got up, picked up the phone, and tried to heave it through the door.
It's the exact same goddamn phone I had to throw when I told my wife I have the world's busiest day. I have half an hour. Half an hour to take a goddamn nap. Half a goddamn hour.
Lynette, stay
and there it was.
Oh, Lynette,
What was the very last thing we talked about?
Hi, honey. Natalia.
Jesus
Hi, Natalia.
Christ.
Don't worry about your dad yelling. It's okay. He's fine.
No, let me tell you why I'll tell you why I sound like a big dick to everyone all the time. Because let me explain my life to everyone. I had the world's busiest day. Last week, I was slammed. My radio show was being canceled.
Yeah.
At the same time my radio show was being canceled, I was selling a sitcom
to CBS.
CBS.
Deal.
Yeah. Right.
Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you. Cool. So you'll have not even a walk-on role on that.
God damn it.
I said to my wife, I said, I'm going to have the world's busiest day last Thursday or Friday. I said, I'm going out to CBS to pitch at noon. I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be hungover from doing my show. I don't want to have bags under my eyes. I got to get a nap. And she said, you come right home from work and you take a nap. By the way, she did the chick math thing. Like, come home at 10 o'clock, take a two-hour nap.
But now,
like,
wait a minute.
The show ends at 10 o'clock.
Didn't she just go, you have a tough day. Let me tell you about my...
That's your wife.
No, come on. That's everyone does that.
Lynette is wildly unrealistic. So she says... Come home. I said the earliest I can make it home is about 10:45. If I work hard, I can sleep. I can take a half hour nap. I can take a half hour nap, and then I can get up, shower, and get to CBS and pitch my ass off because my career depends on it, my livelihood at this point. So she said, fine. So I hustle home at 10:30. I fly out of my clothes, and I give her the lock down the house. I can't be disturbed for a half an hour.
Did you put the lovey shades on?
Put the lovey, big old lovey padded shades on.
Earmuffs,
everything. Roll myself up in a cocoon and go to bed. I just fall asleep. I set my timer for half an hour. I have 10 minutes. 10 minutes into it, I fall asleep, and I hear Vivaldi go off. And then I look up and see that her phone is just sitting, not on the end table next to my head, but just on the next table over, right out in the middle of nothing. And I thought, really? Really? Now I can't go back to bed because I'm pissed. It's not because I was woken up. It's because I'm pissed.
Yeah, yeah.
So I go, all right, listen. God damn it. And I'm pissed off. I get up and I throw the phone. And I say, Jesus Christ, woman. Half an hour. That's all. Just trying to recharge the battery. And by the way, just trying
Engineer
to go out.
Johnny liked the woman comment.
Just trying to go out and bring in some bacon. Got ass canned from the last gig. Looking to go out. Looking for the nap. So tonight... 10 seconds before we went on the air, I said to her, listen, Lynette, you're in charge of the phones. Keep the phones out. Keep the door shut. And I went and took the two phones, my phones, brought them, threw them in the other room, put a pillow over them. You're in charge of the phones. What, 3.5 minutes into it? What happens? Her phone. Lesson learned. Valuable lesson learned. That's the whole thing.
But
now, listen, when you used to be able to hit women, don't you think they learned? Seriously.
Oh, my God.
This phone thing would have never happened again if I was Ike Turner.
Yeah, but something else much more intense.
But I would have beaten the shit out of her the first time. It would have never happened again.
All right, but I'm
supposed. But here's the problem you have, Adam.
What?
This is, and you've got to take this in. You assume everyone else's brain works like yours.
No, I don't. That's why I tell them what to do all the time. No. If their brain worked like mine, they would have thought to get the phone out of there.
But
no, I don't. I assume everyone's an idiot.
No. But you
and so I tell them, take care of the phone.
Right, but because
I don't tag the phone,
take it
to them and hand it to them.
But you assume that they accept and understand your motivation for wanting it moved, and you skip that step. Because they don't have the same motivation.
They have zero motivation, and I have no motivation.
No,
I mean, I have motivation. I cannot motivate.
You can, but you skip that. You got to. I don't know how you get that across to people because your brain is exquisitely attuned to everything all the time, right? And so it's a huge. When that phone goes off, it's a major.
The major thing that does it, and I'll tell you, I've told this story before. Dr. Drew in studio, by the way.
Who?
I've told the story before.
I don't
remember we used to do Loveline?
Yeah.
I'll explain exactly how my brain works.
Yeah.
We used to do Loveline, the TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And remember, we would sit down, start the show, and at a certain point, we'd bring out the guest.
Yes.
Hey, everybody, it's the lead singer from Jamiroquai.
Yeah.
And then I would stand up, and you would stand up, and you would feel that tug. And that tug would be your mic pack popping off the small of your back and swinging between your legs like so much testicles when the guy came out. And then you would come off stage, and you would say to the sound guy, hey, man.
Brian. Was that?
Probably Brian. Hey, Stone or Brian. I'll go with Brian.
Brian was this.
No, Brian. No. Yeah. Whatever.
Okay, go ahead. Anyway,
Hey, Broseph.
Yeah,
this is the third time this has happened this week where the mic pack has popped off. How about you tweak the thing, put some gaffer's tape around it, and make sure it's stuck on there good and tight? Because when it pops off and it's swinging and tugging on my collar, it's very distracting. And then he goes, done and done. And then the next show comes around, and I stand up and I go, hey, everybody, welcome Wild Orchid. And I stand up, and I feel the tug of the mic pack. I'm not angry at the part where I'm feeling it tug on my shirt. And I'm not distracted by that part.
Yeah.
I'm enraged that I discussed it so many times with the same effing person, and now I'm completely brought out of it. I'm completely distracted.
Yep.
I'm completely angry. And everyone says, well, it's just a mic pack. Get over it. It's not the mic pack. It's the thing that we've had 11 conversations about, the goddamn mic pack.
That's what
enrages me.
I know.
What can I do?
I don't know, because I've tried to fix. I've tried to work on that with you for a long time.
Why me? Why not everyone else?
Because everyone else is. They seem unyielding at this point, right? Everyone else.
I'm going to go with
time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so, if you're going to live peaceably in the world, we got to figure out how to communicate.
I came home last Thursday after then meeting with Fox at 5 in the afternoon down on Motor and Bumfuck.
Yeah.
And came back here at 7 o'clock. And when I saw my wife, I was like, I am pissed about that phone.
Yeah.
I have put in a 17-hour day. I wanted a half-hour nap, and you left your goddamn phone right next to me.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I gave it to her with both barrels. And she gave me the message sent, message received. But evidently not. And that's my point. Now, what am I to do?
I don't know. Oh, I don't. I wish I could solve it because I can tell.
Should I just not pay attention? Ah, la di da. The phone's going off.
Well,
this is awesome in the middle of the goddamn podcast after I just discussed the phone.
You know what it
or
is?
Or should I just quietly get up and walk it over to the other side of the room or hope it doesn't happen again?
You have to.
And what tone? What tone? What tone should my conversation?
I'm wondering, like, what happens when your kids get older? You're worried about.
Oh, well, the kids just run for cover and smoke pot.
Yeah, but, the boy's going gay. She's gonna climb on a pole and never get off.
Don't worry, there'll be a payback on that.
What should my tone be, though?
The receiver
phone having, once again,
having come to understand, you have to be able to see it from your perspective, and so the like me or your wife.
Right.
And in order to have that priority in your head, you have to really receive and be acutely aware of how you're experiencing these things, so you're motivated to protect you against that.
Right.
Because the average person, when a gnat farts, it doesn't motivate.
Yeah.
But for you, it's don't let that happen again.
No, I understand. I have the hypervigilance, as you've diagnosed me many times, also with Asperger's syndrome as well, which I will fight you on. But the hypervigilence, I will not fight you on. And I understand.
It's no different than when I'm building a project. I understand I see things other people don't see.
Yeah.
That's why I have detailed discussions with them
about what to do. The missing piece is they have got to see it from your perspective, not just hear your instructions. Because if they have a perception of how you're experiencing this thing, they're not going to forget that.
Me flipping out and throwing
doesn't do it? No.
Shall I hang myself?
No, it's. I don't know how to describe it to you. When it finally got through to me was that thing with the tests. You know that how distracting it was for you to be people filling out tests when we were trying to go on the radio.
The mirror effect, by the way, in bookstores mid March bookstores.
Big thank you to Adam Kroll on that for tolerating this.
Yes,
but when I finally understood what you were experiencing, then I had the motivation to make sure your perception was. I was consciously like undermining, or I had some intent to
stop punching your mic.
I can't even do it here, right?
Jesus Christ!
This
you're like
attached to my head.
You're like a retarded time.
It's only around you, for Christ's sake.
You're like a retarded time life operator.
But when I understood what you were experiencing, then I magically had the motivation.
All right,
but why must we go through that step? But the problem is, you assume that people already understand fully, and therefore. Are ignoring that or doing something really pernicious, you know, directly at you.
I know.
And by the way, I know you experienced that now, so it puts more motivation behind me.
I know, but let me say this.
Yeah.
So much.
By the way, Kroll is dressed in no clothes.
I'm wearing a bathrobe.
He's wearing a bathrobe, his nuts are hanging out, and he's got slippers on. What the hell is
actually,
this?
Actually, my nuts are my left slipper. I'm at home. I dress to the left, as you know.
Yeah.
Drew and I are sitting here in my den. The kids are hearing Daddy rail in the next room. Bed. Lynette's packing her bags and crying. Here's the whole thing, though, Drew.
Yeah.
Why do they need to experience what I'm experiencing?
Because it's
how
so different than the rest
but
of
how
us.
About this simple, pragmatic answer of when you leave the lights on, you
know,
burn kilowatts,
this
and you're costing
me. You are dealing with something I deal with every freaking day in my clinical practice because you...
Say the F word. We're on the,
every fucking day in my practice.
Yeah.
You are relying on memory. And memory is not a good... source of motivation. You're relying on people to remember. First of all, to receive everything you say and
everything
and research. But research.
Check out the phone.
I know, but research shows that people only take away 20%. So when I say
20%,
no, Adam, listen. So when I say I would like you to take the lisinopril once a day, one tablet once a day, and then I'll have your lab work for you. We just drew it now. I'll have it for you on Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
They leave and go. Call back. They call back 15 minutes later.
Oh, yeah.
When do I take this medication?
Now everyone does that.
Okay.
I know.
So you're relying on memory to be the motivator as opposed to, oh, my God, poor Adam. If that phone goes off, I know how awful that is for him. And by the way, he's going to think that I am doing something directly at him, and he's going to feel that. Now all of a sudden it's not memory anymore. It's motivation.
Well, let me say a couple of things. First off, memory is you're going to the market. Here's a list of things to pick up.
That's
this is self-evident.
No, to you. To us, we have to remember it. I have to remember. Listen, she should know the phone
Look, when you go into a movie theater.
Jesus Christ, this is going to be some crazy cartoon, Michael Darren. We're arguing about the fucking phone.
When you go into a movie theater.
Just heaved through the door, a fucking oak door, got a hole in it, shaped like a phone, where he threw the damn thing through.
Listen, I want to say a few things. First off, where does all the motivation need to come from with everyone these days? Do you know what I mean? Do you know how many times I've said to people, look, I'm paying you. Do the way I tell you to do it.
Well,
I'm keeping the lights on in this place. I'm paying the mortgage. I'm paying for everything. Do it the way I say.
Yeah.
Where does it? No. Yeah. You need to approach it from a different angle.
No.
You're not getting through. How about just do what I goddamn say because I'm paying for everything?
Write it down.
I know it doesn't work, but I just...
That's what I do. Write it down. Let's read it together, and let's write it down.
I tell everyone to write it down, but here's my point. Why does everything need to be such a lesson? I mean, first off, why aren't more things just more self-evident, which is to say we're broadcasting out of here. Shut your pagers, shut your phones, move your cuckoo clocks.
Because people have to empathize and accept the fact that we have a point of view. We need quiet. We are doing something that we think is important.
I've tried that, work that. Honey, this is a corporation, and you're in it half and half with me. All right, let me just ask you this.
Yeah, yeah.
80 years ago,
yeah,
when our grandfathers were podcasting,
yes,
Do you think their wives' phones were going off in the room, or were they downstairs, you know, canning fruits?
They were canning fruits, and we were out banging hookers.
Salting,
let's be fair.
I mean, that's, salting meats for the winter. Yes, that's all I'm saying. Yeah, all right, Drew. Yeah. Donnie, how far into this thing are we? We haven't even talked about anything yet. Jesus Christ.
Shit, you could talk. Jesus.
All right, so, Drew, what is my new approach to make people think that the things that are important to me are important to them?
I don't know how you – that's what I was struggling with. That was the boring part of the conversation.
Go ahead. I'm ready to be bored again.
Because I don't know how you convey that. You have to get mad a few times, but people have to
– I blew up.
That?
I blew up.
You bring out new headsets?
I blew up less than a week ago.
Yeah, no. But they have to accept where that's coming from. It's not just, oh, Adam's being an asshole. It's got to be, no, I have a different experience of the world than you do, and it's hard for me, Adam, to understand that you don't have that same experience.
Right.
That's it. They have to accept it. It takes a while. Right. Listen,
I can't hear a word you're saying because Drew, I mean, Donnie was over there punching a box. Quiet down. Loud enough.
What else? Let's talk about something else.
All right, let's talk about other things. All How's right. Love Line going?
Love Line's going great. Same old calls, same old stuff. Sober House is going great. Andy Dick and Jennifer Jimenez are on tonight, in fact.
So oh, really?
House. You watched Sober House?
Oh, yeah, I watched Sober House. Yeah, Jennifer's the den mom.
Yeah.
And Andy Dick.
Andy Dick is still sober, doing good. He is.
Is he – now, how long – when did the show wrap?
August.
So he has
a court-ordered, you know, ankle bracelet on and stuff for alcohol monitoring.
Really?
Which really helps him.
He needs one on his penis.
Yeah.
Forget about the ankle bracelet.
No, I know.
Save a little money on material, City of Los Angeles, and put one on that guy's honker. Because he nails everything that moves. And it doesn't matter if it has a penis or an ass or a vagina.
No,
it doesn't matter.
Waka, whatever. He has told me that he is trisexual. He'll try anything.
And is he still that way?
I had a long conversation on Twitter last night with Rainn Wilson about whether or not mermaids have vaginas.
And we had the same one, too.
Yeah, I figured you would. And we decided they must have a cloaca, which is sort of an anus-vagina combined.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, you don't see...
Is that something that, like, whales have?
Yeah, well, yeah, farm animals and things. And,
uh-huh.
Right?
Oh, yeah, like cows.
Right. I mean, you don't see it on the mermaids.
Like, cows don't have a vagina?
They kind of have one area there.
They have a cloaca? It's got to be nice for the bulls when they're drunk. Like, I don't know, general vicinity. Any port in a star. Moo! Why can't chicks have a cloaca?
Well, I mean, so that would we, be, have enough, we have hard enough time with the broken down parts.
That would be something that your penis went into and poop came out of?
I have to look it up, to tell you the truth.
I was talking to a guy way back when I used to have a radio show. He sewed himself up inside a cow
and crawled
out of its asshole.
I heard that conversation. And somebody said something about birthing, and he said that's the same canal.
I was confused by that.
I think that's what he was talking about, the cloaca.
Cloaca.
Yeah, that was a really weird conversation.
So hold on.
His dad was standing there.
I want to give a quick message to all our black listeners. That is not a good name for your daughter. That is a horrible name. Little cloaca.
T-shirts are a menswear staple, but they're plagued. Shrinkage, bacon neck, color fade, wrinkles, stretching. We all been there. Cuts Clothing completely changed the game. Quality and style for the office, a date, anywhere in between. Fit, fabric, and function. Pre-shrunk, wrinkle-free, and retains the shape. This stuff is good. I wear their T-shirts. They are a cut above. See what I did there? Choose your collar, crew, V-neck, Henley, and cut. Elongated, split hem, or classic curve hem. Whatever you're into, you choose it. New Pika Polo is like no other polo you've ever worn. Cuts officially reinvented the polo, people. The only shirt worth wearing. Once you wear a cut shirt, it's impossible to choose a regular T-shirt again. Step up, man. Go with Cuts. Right, Dawson?
See why Cuts is the only shirt worth wearing. Loved by your favorite athletes, entrepreneurs, and even podcast hosts. It seems like everyone is wearing Cuts these days. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Adam. That's cutsclothing.com/Adam for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing.
Hope you enjoyed that clip of Dr. Drew on the very second Adam Carolla show ever. And as we said, Adam is still getting used to, or at least is the people around him are still getting used to the fact that he's broadcasting from home now. He He's not going out on a Wilshire up in to KLSX. This is where he's doing it from. And yes, he used to podcast from his home office. He had two lounge, like Barca loungers, and they had the headset microphones, and they would just start talking. I mean, once again, podcasting was still not mainstream enough to where there's a ton of gear. Nobody really knew exactly what they were doing, so it was
Nobody knew what the best move was. Headset mics, lav mics. In these early episodes, Mike Chaffee, the producer, the actual audio engineer who was working, the guy who was doing the important stuff and posting it, he had to try to use a hard limiter to try to make them sound better for those headset mics, but it would make Adam sound like he had a lisp. So a lot of listeners were like, what is wrong with Adam? So they have to go back and tweak the files, repost them. But it sounded like Adam had something put in his mouth, like some dentures, or he's wearing some like clear braces, but that's not the case. It was just this audio technique to try to make the microphone sound a little bit better.
Right.
This one was actually taped the very next day after the first episode. This was taped 223 and air 224. Adam didn't even have yet a set recording time. They're just basing it off when Drew can show up. And then he wants everything to like be smooth, but then you know it's like when you have guests come over and they show up 10 minutes early, which Adam always talks about. That was the very specific vibe of the opening of this episode, like just a cluster F of stuff. The phone's ringing, everybody's going nuts. It's like, you guys got to get out of here.
Right.
I totally know that experience, especially as a pet owner. I think people can relate.
Yeah.
It's a great classic episode.
And Adam's radio history makes him a unicorn for podcasting, because most of the shows, even to this day, we record live to tape. So that's why you hear the live reads in real time. The only time we take breaks, or you hear us throw to a break, but rarely will you hear just an edit if something goes wrong, because Adam is such a pro that he just rolls with everything, and it's as if you are hearing it live, which I think is just one of the, like, some of the charm that is the Adam Carolla Show, is you hear Adam in real time. You get him the exact way that he's speaking into the microphone. So
he hates wasting time and redoing stuff, and he hates like having to do multiple takes. He's like, no, we'll just go with it. Let's just do it. Let's do it. That's part of his brevity and his need to get things done results in the show being better.
Right.
So people be like, oh, he's just, you know, he's being lazy or something. He just wants to get out of there quick. He doesn't care about quality. It's like, no, actually, you get better quality. Because he's one take Jake.
Yeah, he's that good, and guests, whoever come in, they're always shocked that we don't make any cuts or edits, and they're kind of thrown off their feet a little bit too, because it's so it's still long form, but it's live, so it's some fun, and that's I think the best way that Adam works.
And you can clearly see how it influenced kind of a genre of comedy podcasting. Some of which aren't as funny as the ACS, like the whole comedy genre, which I think Adam pretty much exploded, but it basically became synonymous with comedian hosting a podcast rather than the show being funny. When Adam's case, it's comedian hosting a podcast, and it's a funny podcast.
Right. All right, let's get going with the next clip. This is the third Adam Carolla Show ever, where he invited his old co-host from the radio show, Teresa Strasser, who was the news girl, and Bald Brian Bishop.
Yep, this is episode 3. Brian is there along with Teresa. They're having a little bit of like a party get-together for all the staff from the radio show. So it's a little bit different vibe in the background. Adam is finishing his anal carbuncle story. And we've played this portion before, and we've also played the first half, but this is the funniest part. So if you're having breakfast, maybe wait to listen to the rest of this clip until you're done. Check it out.
So yeah, Teresa, you had a hemorrhoid.
I should get a brown heart. I should get a brown heart for what? Hemorrhoid.
You're right. You don't get a lot of sympathy.
No ass sympathy.
And a hemorrhoid is really just a punchline. It's not something that people see as a painful medical condition.
That would have been a good bit, is coming up with things that sound better than they are, but diseases or conditions that don't carry the sympathy with them. They should.
Hemorrhoid and gallstones and things like that. Exquisitely painful. People sort of laugh. Anything to do with the penis or the urethra.
Right. No long-term harm.
Yeah. Right.
So
one time,
concerned.
Jimmy's urethra started to shrink.
Oh, no.
I could barely get semen out of it.
It took a lot of extra work.
Oh, my God.
No, it's just extra time.
That may have been what happened to my asshole. I don't know.
It was around the same time.
Jesus Christ. I got carpal tunnels yanking on that thing. No, his urethra shrank, and he couldn't pee. And it's like, you'll die if you can't pee, except
yet it's hilarious.
When people are laughing their ass off. When they're done laughing, they'll be mourning at your funeral. And he had to go to, I think, Dr. Drew, who essentially had to put...
same needle that was in your carbuncle.
Kebab skewers, right. And essentially yoke out his urethra.
Shrunken Urethra, though. Awesome name for a punk band.
Mm.
I like that.
I can totally yeah. see Shrunken Urethra.
Opening
right
for Carbuncle.
That's yeah.
Carbuncle.
Carbuncle yeah. explosive.
That's yeah, right. The ass stuff, the urethra stuff, and the, also everybody has a cure all, and you're to blame. Like if you get cancer, you get cancer.
Right.
Oh, you my, poor
it
dear.
Happens.
If you have a hemorrhoid, it's like, sweetie, you're not eating enough fiber.
Right.
What
or
did
push,
I tell you about?
So
what
hard.
I tell you about pushing? What right. I tell you about right. tension? What I tell you about? You, what I tell you about the prescription, whatever,
my ass is
whatever.
The victim. Don't blame the victim.
Right. That's what it is. This is essentially the equivalent of you were raped. Why were you wearing the miniskirt?
Right.
Why were we wearing the miniskirt? This is the asshole.
You were drinking.
Yes, your asshole's being raped. Yeah, yeah. If your asshole wasn't out taking Vicodin and
mixing with guys, your asshole didn't know well. Yeah.
And eating the red velvet cake, then maybe your asshole wouldn't need an asshole kit right now.
Maybe your asshole should have laid away from the saltines and eaten the high fiber stuff.
What I don't need right now is another asshole lecture.
Yeah. Oh, man. I miss this. Don't you guys?
This is fun.
Yeah, except for the part where it's dark outside for the good reasons.
Right.
It's late at night, not early in the morning.
Yeah, it's real dark.
What time are you guys waking up? Oh, Teresa, you're getting there.
I still on my morning schedule. Yeah. Just been waking. Well, first at 4:30, and then today at 6.
Oh, really?
8:30
at the
rooster.
Yeah.
I'm over whatever schedule I was ever on in a second, by the way. And here, I'll be honest for a second. I don't know if you guys have this serial killer gene that I have. Today and yesterday, by the way, and I've been busy, and we've been doing this CBS pilot, and by the way, looking to get Bald Brian involved with that, and many of the other players here on the Adam Carolla Show, especially the folks that don't have contracts to see them through the end of the year, and the people that are living paycheck to paycheck. And granted, I've been distracted, and I've been doing movie pitches and all kinds of great and exciting stuff, but and this is part of the problem, it's a good thing as a human being and a bad thing as a husband and a father and a son and all that. It's as if I'd never done it before. I literally...
About this?
It is not the podcast. It is literally 2 days in.
And it's over.
And it's completely over.
Oh, yeah.
Completely in the rearview mirror. And I don't even... As I never did it before.
Out of sight of the mind.
I have a similar feeling. I went to the gym and a couple people I didn't know came up and they said... I'm so sorry. I'm so sad. I feel terrible. I miss you guys. Like, what are they talking about?
The hemorrhoid will get... I can push it back up.
I know it's uncomfortable, but it's going to probably go away if I eat more fiber
right,
and
sure.
don't push.
Yes. Do you have that
what are
feeling?
Talking about? Yes. Completely.
And
completely.
Isn't that a great thing about being a human being? And, Bald Brian, do you have that feeling?
A little bit. More so... the days are sort of long with nothing to do. Nothing. I mean, now you guys got movie pitches and TV guide channel and stuff. When you're sort of waiting for the next thing to come around, the day seems kind of long.
What I do
I'm gonna
is
miss
I
miss my nap. You know
yes,
what I'm saying?
I spend hours online looking for various genetic disorders my baby could have.
Sure. Oh, awesome. Well, maybe it'll come out
so
with a hemorrhoid
like a
on it, or no, it comes out another hole. That's
yeah. right.
Right.
Yeah.
And again, it's what makes me a robot, and it's simultaneously the best quality you could wish your young unborn child has, and the worst, because you move on immediately, and it's all bigger and better, and on to the next thing, and you don't look back, and you don't sort of shed a tear and live in the past and all that kind of stuff. On the other hand, it sort of makes you an emotional robot.
Yeah,
like you should really be wondering what
yeah,
producer Angie's up
right.
to and grieving the past and feeling all the feelings that come along with loss and pain and all that kind of stuff.
I guess I have a smaller version of that, which is like I wanted very badly at the time, like last Thursday and Friday, to reply to all the MySpace messages and all the emails I'd gotten. But if you people are listening, by the way, I really wanted, had of all intentions, to reply to the messages, say, hey, thanks a lot, thanks for listening, I appreciate it. But once it comes like, you know, today, Monday, Tuesday, and on, you're like, you're working on the next thing. You're kind of got wrapped up in whatever's on the horizon, whatever's next.
I think I would have dwelled a lot more if I wasn't pregnant. That has really helped in terms of going
moves
through
your
the
life
stages.
Along.
Yeah, it just it, yeah. everything I hoped. I mean, it puts things like that in perspective. But I did have kind of a little emotional moment where I thought about the past 3 years and how, you know, I started out, I was single and I couldn't meet anybody. Then I met somebody and I got married. Now I'm pregnant and Brian is, you know, engaged and going to be married soon.
And your
twins are just gorgeous and they're running around here. And I felt like this incredible, just sweeping, saturating sense of gratitude. And I thought, I want to call Adam and tell him that I'll come and do his podcast anytime he wants me to be there.
Well, you know, it was a weird thing. I just had an impulse, and it was a radio impulse to reset. I was going to say, we're at my house, and Brian and Teresa are here, and we're having a goodbye party. And by the way, downstairs are producer Angie and pre-op board op Bill and Mike Chaffee and Dawson and Lynch and all the people.
Everybody, Yanira,
associated.
Ashley, Van.
Yeah, everybody associated with the show's out there drinking my booze, by the way, and enjoying my Mediterranean food. But one of the beauties of the podcast is we don't need to reset. Nobody tuned in
halfway
into this. And the only people that are listening are people that are tuned in, by the way. And a lot of people have talked about, you know, lamented the demise of the show and the radio station in L.A., but then all the affiliates as well. But it sounds cliche, but, you know, one door closes, another one opens. I've found a lot of people, and I know 300,000 of you can't be wrong. I think this is the wave of the future. I really do. And I think the big buildings and the big parking structures and the security guards and the goddamn Jack Silvers of the world, I think these are all dinosaurs. I really do. I think it's the internet. I think
based
it's the
on the
community.
Production piece he brought in on our last day, he's on the cutting edge? I don't understand. I'm confused.
I feel like Rick Dees must have shit that thing out in 1987.
That hit Rick Dees's carbuncle on the way out.
Yes. Our program director, Jack Silvers, final farewell production piece, I think about said it all in terms of his comedic sensibilities versus our own.
Nobody in the room is going to get this, but as they say on Project Runway, I'm concerned about the taste level. That is not chic. That is not chic. It looks cheap.
I was just looking at Mike Dawson and Mike Lynch sitting outside the studio waiting to come in and say their piece, say their final farewell, something poignant like, hey guys, it's been awesome, and here's Jack Silver's comedy bit.
Yes.
That was 20 minutes long.
And
20 minutes
would have been
time.
The funniest thing I'd ever heard in my life if I didn't think he was serious.
It could have been Warhol-esque.
Ironically, it could have been the funniest thing on the planet.
Kind of Andy Kaufman thing.
Could have crushed Spinal Tap.
Right.
If he didn't believe in it wholeheartedly and wasn't actually
slapping his knee.
Actually attempting to be funny.
And this is a guy who's been telling me to keep it concise and keep it short and hurry it along, and that piece was just...
And fucked out and from the 70s, and it's a definite Rick Dees ripoff, and as I was hearing it, it actually brought some nice closure for me because I was listening to it thinking, yes, this is why we're going off the air. That's right. The guy who hates Dana Gould and loves this shit, this is exactly why we're going off the air. But the great news is we don't have to deal with Jack Silver anymore, and we don't have to deal with CBS anymore, and we don't have to deal with the big high-rise building anymore. It's just this. It's our community. And we don't have to deal with borders or boundaries anymore. It's everyone around the world, everyone who speaks English, everyone with a couple of brain cells to rub together can listen to this show, and they can do it free of charge. And I feel guilty tearing you guys away from your loved ones and the party.
They're very sick of us.
And Molly. And the wine and tea. Have a little shot of the vino. It's not going to kill you.
Well, I thought that too, but apparently they mean it.
Is it the company line, by the way? Like the doctor can't give an inch. You know what I'm saying?
Here's why I trust my doctor.
Oh, sure, have a glass.
My doctor. I said when I first got pregnant, I was just incredibly, really, really nervous because the baby didn't even have a heartbeat yet, and I was just terrified. And I mean, I don't smoke, but I smoke maybe 2 cigarettes a day.
Sure.
I guess that's
smoking.
Which I've been doing since...
to a day.
I'm in denial.
For 2 months.
Which I've been doing since I was 14.
Oh, no. Listen. This is one of those things, though. You bring up a very good point. Let me talk about my asshole for another 20 minutes. No, this is what doctors...
20.
This is what doctors
do.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem in our society as a whole. When you say everything is a 10 for doctors,
right.
There's no threes. So if you say to your doctor, they go, do you smoke or don't you smoke? And you go... Well, I smoke maybe 2-3 cigarettes. Okay, so you're a smoker. And you go, no, I'm not a smoker because I know guys who smoke 3 packs a day. That's 60 cigarettes a day.
There's degrees of everything.
3 cigarettes a day. You're a smoker. let's just go ahead
and
check.
They might think I'm lying.
We're going to check the box that says smoker.
Right.
And again, they A, think you're lying, or B, they don't have an in-between, so they just check the box. And
right.
there's no like – so we live in a society of absolutes, which is no drinking. We all know because for thousands of years, people drank either wine or the equivalent to wine while they were pregnant, probably more so when they're pregnant. Because like I said, back in the day, if you got shot, they gave you brandy. If you got stabbed, they gave you brandy. And if you're any kind of pain at all, they gave you brandy. God knows how much brandy was given. Hell, we'd give the kids
put in the baby's
brandy.
Bottle.
Yeah, soak it.
My
soak
parents
a rag
gave me that hot toddy.
In whiskey and let the kids suck on it when it was teething. I mean,
that sounds
God
so good.
Knows how much that was. So obviously, drinking a glass of wine a night is not going to do shit. Obviously, it's not. But a bottle of wine or a case of wine may do shit. But because we're in an all-or-nothing universe now, there's no such thing as three cigarettes.
Absolutely.
There's a pack a day or not smoking.
My doctor said, and I've done the research on it, and of course, smoking is dose-related. So while it's not good to smoke, and I wouldn't advise smoking, three cigarettes is not as bad as three packs of cigarettes. That's obvious. And, you know, so I said to my doctor, I smoke a couple a day, and I guess I should never smoke again. I mean, I can't ever. And he said, look, he sized me up immediately. And he said, I don't want you to stress out. It would be worse for you to stress out. And he's like, if you need to smoke that one, if it's going to stress you out so much to not smoke that one cigarette, just smoke the one cigarette.
Wow.
And that's
wow.
how I know that he's not bullshitting
cool
about the alcohol.
Cool.
He said, alcohol is not the same. You don't know what sip of alcohol is going to affect the fetus. It's people don't
it goes
really
to the
understand
liver,
it.
Right?
Yeah, and so he just said, just no alcohol, none.
That is the fact that he said, go ahead and smoke a cigarette, but stay away from the booze, does suggest that he's
me.
For real.
You
yeah.
do feel like a real asshole, worrying. Speaking of assholes, when you're sitting there pregnant, and you're just taking a drag off your husband's cigarette, because he's the same as me, he just smokes one or two, but I'm quitting. So I'm down to just a few puffs off his.
Mm-hmm.
But
work
no
on
alcohol.
This, dude. Work on this. What's it to you? It's not your kid.
Yeah, it's going to look really bad when I'm really
showing,
just sucking, dragging off a cigarette. I know it's not good.
Doc said it was cool.
But I'm doing my best.
Well, like I said, maybe generically or genetically we were inferior because of all the smoking and drinking that went on 50 years ago. But I feel like we were a stronger breed.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, so we'd hurt ourselves a little bit by smoking, mom drinking or whatever. But this is the greatest generation of all the time. I mean, this is the generation that stormed Normandy, for the love of Christ. How many pussies right now who are listening to us via iPod would storm a beach in France?
Not without their Purell.
That's right. That's the goddamn point. So I don't know if we hurt them genetically by smoking or their mom smoking or whatever, but I'll tell you, it didn't hurt their character much. And maybe being the smartest, sharpest, most put together, sort of with the greatest opportunities of all genetically, maybe that doesn't have anything to do with character. Maybe character is the most important thing. I mean, maybe your IQ isn't the most important thing, and your test scores isn't the most important thing.
Damn it.
Maybe there's something more to that that booze and nicotine can't affect.
Right. Yeah, the soul.
All right. The soul. So I think the booze is bad for the fetus, mind, but good for the fetus soul.
Oh.
Right, either way, let's go. Let's go get
back.
All right, I'm out of booze, so we got to wrap this thing up. Do you guys have anything you want to say? By the way, because we'll have you on periodically,
Brian?
But it might be a little while.
I'd love to come back. I'll bring you a bottle of wine. We'll share it.
All right.
That's
anything
deal.
You want to say to the people?
Thank you for all your email messages. If you want to say hi to me, go to hibrian.com.
All right.
I think I've said enough.
You don't want to talk about your asshole for another 45?
Okay. I'm sorry this ever happened.
All right. Thank you for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow. I think Damashek and Bill Simmons are going to be in as well. And as you guys continue to make this the number one podcast in America, we will grow it. I was planning on just sitting here and talking to my pre-pews and a ficus plant, but I had no idea that it was going to be this popular.
This is really, really impressive and amazing.
So, yes, and it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with you guys who have picked it up and ran with it and spread it around virally and shown the man what he can do with his radio station. So God bless you. Keep the fight going. We'll keep the pirate ship sailing. And I'll see you tomorrow. And until next time, This is going to feel weird. This is Adam Carolla for Teresa Strasser and Bald Bryant saying mahalo.
Omega XL, this stuff is real. I take it every day now. I used to have a lot of pain in my hands, as you guys know, and I've got injections and everything else. This is not that. This is a way to cut inflammation. Inflammation causes the pain. So back, knees, neck, shoulder pain, whatever it is, it's the inflammation. You're taking, you know, the rubs and the gels and the painkillers. Those are mask the pain. You need to get to the inflammation. Backed by 35 years of clinical research, Omega XL attacks the inflammation that causes my pain, and now my hands feel better. Pain relievers and topical rubs, again, they're just masking the problem. You need to take care of the inflammation. So if you're suffering aches and pain, stiffness, you need to try Omega XL, right, Dawson?
Order Omega XL now and get a second bottle free. Visit OmegaXL.com/Adam. That's OmegaXL.com/Adam or call 1-800-844-4888. 800-444-4888. 800-444-4888.
Now, it's Adam joined by Teresa and Brian during the, I guess, the goodbye party or the thank you party of the radio show.
Yeah,
it
was kind of a going away, like, whatever, just gathering at Adam's house with everybody who was on the part of the show.
Right.
Nobody from the radio station, just the actual program on the radio station. None of the network people, none of the suits.
Right.
None of the executives, now, just the staff.
Now, Teresa would go on to be the news girl when the she makes further appearances on the podcast, and then she becomes the official news girl again when the Adam Carolla show switched to the radio show format, and Brian is still around today. Teresa was then followed by Allison Rosen and now Gina Grad. So...
And Gina and Teresa host a podcast, and they're buds.
Yeah.
So when Gina's busy with her radio gigs, Teresa will fill in remotely, especially for these live podcasts, as the news girl, because who better to do it than the person who essentially originated the role?
That's right. Yeah, when Gina can't record Friday nights because of her job, so Teresa's the first person I ask every single time that we need someone to fill in, because she gets it. She understands the,
understands
the show, and she really appreciates it. Well, Dawson.
Who's the third?
No, I really don't have a backup after Teresa. It's kind of just a free for all after that. Whoever
Lynch has filled in before Mike Lynch, co-writer of Adam's books, executive producer of the show. He's been around since the radio days. He originated Brian's role on the old morning show. He filled in as news girl. He's quite good.
He's quite good. I've done it a couple times. Kristen Carney's very good. I mean,
there's a reason I didn't mention you.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Really, you just raising
because you're my favorite.
All right, let's go to the next clip. This one, we're going to fast forward a little bit to 2010, and we're going to feature writer Megan Dom on this one.
Yeah, this is before she was moving from Los Angeles. So she decides she's leaving, she's selling her house, and she's going to another state. She found love. And now, what's interesting is this year and a little bit of last year, she's kind of reunited with Adam. She worked for LA Times and then Zocalo, this local thing where she interviewed Adam in 2007, and she was just fascinated by him. And she was writing about his morning show. And then she kind of wasn't talking about Adam publicly or anything for years, and then 10 years later, we now have her back in the Carollaverse. And they're having a very similar conversation to the ones they're having currently on Take a Knee and the ACS. All right, Adam and Drew Show, I think, is the most recent thing she guested it on. This is Adam Carolla Show 318, Megan Dom, Adam Carolla, one-on-one. It was recorded April 29th, 2010, and aired May 13th, 2010. Check it out.
So you're selling your house.
So
you
I'm
found
selling
love.
The house. I did.
Is
I
the
did.
Times going that you think the Times will be here 5 years from now? The LA
yeah.
Times.
Yeah. You I'm do. Not on staff at the LA Times. I've been a columnist. This is my fifth year now, but I'm a freelancer, so I don't... My husband goes there, and I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but no, people are going to still need to read newspapers.
And in your book, it's on sale as we speak. As you know, I don't read, but...
I don't believe that. I really don't believe it.
That.
No, you know, when I wrote the column about you, I got so much mail from all your friends... from all your fans, excuse me. And Jimmy Kimmel sent me an email, and he said, I'm sure Adam would love the column if he could read. And I that's hyperbole.
I can read. I just don't. I choose not to.
Yeah.
Now, people assume I read, and it's a compliment. I don't read. I never read anything. But dig this vibe for 1 second. because most people, like, you know, I sat next to Dr. Drew for all those years, and I feel like most of the knowledge that he's gained has been from reading, or at least that's been the one of the modalities he's used to accumulate knowledge. Either they were textbooks or they were just great literature from the past. Either way, Drew reads a lot, and he gains a lot of knowledge from reading. I don't mean he's one of these robots that just reads books and spits back text at people.
I'm not sure he's not a robot.
He is a little robot.
I don't understand how he does it. What is he? He runs marathons. He sings opera. He has 2 medical practices.
I know.
I don't get it.
Do a ball alone and take a nap.
I don't get it.
I agree. He's so much better than all of us, and it sucks sitting next to him all those years. But his philosophy or credo or whatever it is in life is, you know, get educated, read a lot, and accumulate knowledge, and then regurgitate said knowledge and make money. And I never read a thing. And I've always felt like not reading other people's ideas has freed me up to create my own ideas. And I know that sounds counterintuitive to everyone who reads everyone else's ideas, but I feel like their ideas pollute my ideas.
No, that's
I don't want to know what they're thinking.
Yeah, there's a famous Indian writer whose name is on the tip of my tongue that always very famously says he doesn't read because he has to write. He doesn't want his mind to be contaminated with other people's ideas.
And
it was V.S. Naipaul.
Oh, sure, me and V.S. I know him well.
I know he's going to be on next
week. Dedicated to him in my library. No, and I know there's a lot of greats and a lot of luminaries, and you should be reading and absorbing their ideas, but I hate reading, and I've at least rationalized that I would rather sit around and come up with my own ideas than absorb other people's
ideas.
But
you're extremely verbal, and as I wrote, your ability with language as a writer,
people talk.
Maybe.
Never read.
Anyway, this book, it's relatively short. It's very easy to read.
It looks fat to me.
No, you know why? Because the pages are thick.
Wow.
You really have
thick pages.
It's only, yeah, no, this is like a...
Jesus, like pita bread.
It's for people who have sort of dexterity problems.
I like that. You don't have to lick your fingers.
And you know it has a little house, has a house on the front. The title, I really like the title, Life Would Be Perfect If I Lived in That House. I had to fight for that. Originally, the book was supposed to be called Give Me Shelter.
Right.
And another book came out. But it was going to be Give.
That thing was about the Rolling Stones.
No, but then another book, whatever, it doesn't matter. So
if somebody said I wrote a book called Give Me Shelter, I'd be like, oh, it's the early years with the Stones on the road. Like,
okay, but it was Give. It was the sort of more refined.
It still conjures up Rolling Stones.
Okay. Well, yeah, and it's not, it is about buying this house, but it's also about, it's a memoir. It's about my life. You know, I grew up with a mother who went to open houses on weekends for recreation. We, you know, she was obsessed with decorating, with moving, and she finally got her, she ended up getting her own house and having a series of houses, and I moved dorm rooms every semester, and I moved around a lot. I did something when I was 29. I moved from New York to Nebraska. And
why?
Because I was really broke. I had a tax. You know, this is what happens is you're a self-employed person in the arts and you make a little bit of money and you don't realize that you're supposed to pay
tax. You get 1099.
You don't realize you're supposed to pay estimated quarterlies. So I had, you know. I didn't have health insurance, so I had some dental work that I had to have done. So between the dentistry and the taxes, and student loans because I'd gone to graduate school, was about $78,000 in debt.
It's real easy. You get paid just enough to live,
right?
But not enough to put anything aside for the man. And then at the end, you get the thing where it's like, all right, you should have paid in, and now you owe the IRS
this
much. And
you think you're living, like, you know, I was in New York, and I was freelancing, and I had a couple things in The New Yorker, and I was writing for these magazines, and I thought, well, this is great. Like, I'm supposed to be, you know, living, I'm supposed to have my own apartment, and I'm supposed to go out for drinks with my friends, and I'm supposed to have fresh flowers.
You thought you were Carrie Bradshaw, baby.
That's right. I thought I was going to walk down the street with my loaf of French bread and the flowers sticking out of the top of the grocery bag.
Yeah.
You know, that's like every Meg Ryan movie,
right,
you know?
Right.
And apparently, that just I was way in over my head on that one. So,
the book which is out as we speak is you would recommend to now
everyone in the world.
Everyone in the world, but first time home buyer should definitely want to take a look at this.
You know, it's not a how to book. I think there's a part in most of us, not all of us, most of us that is really consumed with sense of place and home and nesting. It's a great book for moms.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking about that last night because I went on a crane fly killing spree last night, which is these huge daddy long leg flying mosquito
skeeter things. Eaters? I had one in my shower this morning.
There you go.
It's like a bird.
They're terrifucking dactyls, and I said enough. And I'm going on a rampage, and I went to my garage and I pulled out some ether, which is used for starting car engines, quick start, and I just went on a killing spree. And then when I was done with my killing spree, I thought to myself, because I hate it when they fly into my house and I'm chasing around with a slipper.
They don't bite. They don't. They're not mosquitoes, are they?
But here, no.
They're not harmful.
But here's the thing. Let me say this about the rational mind. It's not, you know, when's the last time a cockroach did anything to you?
Well, you know what I mean? I lived in Texas when I was a child, and I remember sitting in the bathtub as a little girl and seeing enormous cockroach float to the surface of the tub.
But it didn't do anything to you. It horrified you.
I had to talk to my therapist about that.
But it didn't do anything. So you can't go to the bathroom anymore in public places.
Except right now. Except for orange. The bladder bag. I'm never going to get that out of my mind.
I'm saying, that's my point. Like, you can't, if you judge your hatred of insects or people by whether they did anything negative to you, you wouldn't hate anyone or anything.
You see what I'm saying? You can always find a way.
That's my point.
Yeah.
You're arguing that these things don't do anything to you. I'm arguing that cockroaches and mice don't really do anything to you.
Oh, mice. Don't get me started.
But you want them out of the house.
Terror.
And you know what I was thinking about last night after my ether-induced killing spree? I thought, well, what's the big deal? Like, I mean, what's the big deal if one of these is buzzing around your house? It doesn't sting you. It doesn't do anything to you. It's not raping your kids. It's not shitting on anything. It's just around. It's in your house. And then I thought, furthermore, what's the deal if there's a mouse in the house? Oh. Like, what's the big deal? It's staying clear of you. It's not getting in your bed with you.
I know someone who was raped by a mouse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had to take back the night marches because the mice.
you lit candles with paper plates.
Major rapists on campus. Everyone had mice whistles. Yep.
The point is this. Here's what you don't like. As you were saying, this is my space.
That's right.
This is my area. And I want it free and clear of others, not only people, but just things. I want to bring the stuff into my house that I want to bring in my house. The stuff that goes in under the cover of darkness, I don't want that shit in my house. And it's really just the fact that it's in your house, not what it is. It's not doing anything. Yeah, it's just in your house.
It's an invader, even if it's a bad piece of furniture.
Right.
If it's a bad couch.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
If you have a
roommate and they bring in a coffee table that you can't stand,
yeah.
I wanted to get rid of the roommate.
No, we all know that thing where somebody gets you a little piece of sculpture or art or something and goes, oh, I thought of you, and this is so wonderful. And they're going to want to see it next time they come over, and you want it out of your fucking house.
What about when you're in a relationship with somebody and they have bad taste? What if you're living with someone or you're married to someone and they say, hey, honey, I really like this sofa?
I know.
There's a major cognitive dissonance going on. How can you be with this person?
Well, it's different for guys, but I will say that I don't care if someone has bad taste as long as they keep it to themselves. Like, as long as I can go, look, you've got bad taste, I've got good taste, we're going to do it my way.
But you've established that as the hierarchy.
Yes.
So are you responsible for furniture buying?
I'm responsible for picking out wall colors and fabrics.
See, that
and
is fascinating.
Furniture and everything.
It's unusual.
Here's what I don't understand. Why is your taste supposed to stop with the design and the architecture and the layout of the house? Like, either you have good taste or you don't. And if you have a good taste, then you have a good color palette, and you have a good idea for design. So if you have a good idea for the design of a room, then why wouldn't you have a good idea for the furniture design that goes in the room that you design? You know, to me, it's just completing the task.
I think
why would you call in another party to put the furniture in the room after I designed it and built it?
Because it's so compartmentalized now. Everything is so specialized. You get somebody to build the house, and then there's a decorator that does another thing, and then someone else is a shopper. I'm not saying I employ these people, but we're in this culture of specialties.
Right.
Everyone just does one thing.
Yeah.
And nobody sort of looks at the whole picture.
Yeah.
And you can really see it. I mean, I don't want to dwell on this, but I'm looking for a house now, and I go into places. I went into a Craftsman house, beautiful, fabulous location. They had ripped out all of the woodwork, all of the built-ins, put emerald green carpet, put like shower stalls from the 80s in it.
Yeah.
And again,
no, it makes you
imprisonable
angry.
Imprisonable offense, I think.
Now, listen, when I got my house, when I was rebuilding it, in trying to undo all the shit that was done to it in the 70s, and occasionally the former owner's kids would, like, stop by, and they live there, and they're like, hey, how's the rebuild going? How's the progress? And I was like, I want to choke your fucking dead dad mm-hmm. for what he did to this, to mm-hmm. have him desecrated. This was a beautifully crafted 1920s home, and this motherfucker took a can of Sears Easy Living and painted over fucking frescoes. Dig that old man up so I can choke him out. And
I'm totally
it was like I wanted to fuck. There should be a corner in hell for people who do this. It was the 70s. It was the 80s. People are high out of their mind on coke, and everyone had a bad idea. And it is the conversation that I've had with my wife when she didn't make my wife just lays back and I do all the thinking around the building. It's fine. She doesn't give a shit. And I know what I'm doing. So why should she care? She did. She was influenced by a friend. And she pushed her into a little shabby chic direction.
I have to say, I like shabby chic. It's a weakness.
It's better.
Yeah.
It's better than many of the other... You know, it's better than the burnt orange and the avocado greens of the 70s.
Were there some fat, smelly candles going on? And
it was
some
a
liquor?
Shabby, it was shabby chic.
Yep.
And,
scented candles.
And I had to explain to her that, look, here's the problem with trends. They come and they go. And what you don't want someone to do is walk into your house and go, I know the year you remodeled this house because I can tell. Meaning when you walk into a house from the 70s, you go, 1975,
right.
Brady Bunch. I get it. And when you walk in a house from 1985 that got remodeled in 85, you go, oh, it looks like a Nagel painting. Awesome. I know.
It's you the Duran Duran Rio cover.
Yes, it don't look like a Rio,
Rio
cover. And I said, listen, here's the problem with shabby chic. It's the same problem with anything, which is I don't want people to walk in 20 years and go, oh, 2002?
2003, I was going to say.
2003,
yeah,
shabby chic?
Right around there.
No, your job is to put it back like you're restoring a car. If you got a car from 1925 and you're restoring it, 1925. Not, oh, with little touches of the 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
No shabby chic. So I had to put my foot down, even though the shabby chic stuff, arguably much nicer than many other bad eras we've been in.
The Anthropology catalog, very seductive.
Right.
For a lot of women,
but
very seductive.
Shabby chic, now going on 8 years old.
No, it's just...
And it doesn't look quite as good as it...
It's a little frumpy chic, dumpy chic.
Not as nice as it was. You know the worst... One of the worst times we forget about? Late 80s. Early 90s, George O'Keefe, Southwest, Western kind of orange and cow's heads and weird, it was like New Mexico, Arizona.
A lot of women who wore bold earrings.
Yeah, lots of
like
turquoise
mm-hmm.
floating around. You'd walk into people's living rooms and it had a sort of Western... But lots of turquoise wall colors and orange sunset.
See,
and all
a lot of
horrible.
It has to do with women asserting themselves. I have a whole theory, and I talk about this in the book. Show me a woman who lives on her own, who doesn't think that her place can be improved by having a scented candle.
Right.
She thinks that any guy who walks into her house, if she lights that scented candle, will fall in love with her, or at least want to have sex with her, even if he's had no interest in her up to that point.
Yeah.
And it's emblematic of a whole set of dynamics.
Do you have the article that first made me fall in love with you,
yes,
by
sir.
The way, Megan?
Oh, you're...
what I love about
love
you.
Love with me. Oh.
This
do
is
you want me to read it really, really slowly?
Do it with passion and a certain agenda, yeah. But
should I read the whole
enough.
Thing or should I just read some highlights?
Some highlights. I don't know what would bore people. I don't know how many words it is. It was in the LA Times. What was it, 06?
It was January 13th, 2007. So it must have been right after Danny showed up?
Yes, Danny joined my radio show.
So,
yes.
Right, I write on the opinion page, so... This was kind of hard to get. I had to talk my editor into letting me do this because I'm not an advocate. You know, I'm very. The lefties think I'm a right wing, and the right wing people think I'm a lefty. So,
right, because all you need to do in order to get either one of the sides pissed off at you is to choose one thing that you agree with on the other side of the aisle, and they turn you into a full-blown member of that party. Which is so short-sighted
to
me.
It's really entertaining. Okay, well, maybe I'll just read a few. The way that it starts, the time has come to talk about Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
Because you're reading the op-ed page of the Los Angeles Times, there's a good chance you're only vaguely aware of him. Not anymore. This was back in 2007.
Sure.
You're only vaguely aware of him as a host of cable shows you don't like or radio programs you don't tune into. Maybe you've seen the bus ads for KLSX Radio's The Adam Carolla Show, which bill him as an American genius. You probably thought this was idiotic hyperbole. Yeah. I'm here to tell you it's not. And then I also go on to say not to listen to the show
because
Danny was messing it up. But I'm gonna skip ahead. See, this is actually... I think this is why I've always found you so compelling, and I think that what you're doing is really interesting. Carolla's primary subject has always been about class, the mannerisms and material ambitions that accompany the great American pastime known as socioeconomic striving.
Ooh.
Having positioned himself... Did you actually read this part?
When I did. Yeah, I read it.
All right. Having positioned himself as a lug-headed refugee from the low-rent reaches of the valley, he mocks trailer trash culture without seeming remotely mean-spirited. He can also dissect the pretensions of affluence in a way that is actually interesting. Despite the masturbation jokes and pot references, to listen to Carolla is to sit in on an acid-tongued anthropology lecture.
Yeah.
And you want to take notes.
Wow. I love that. And he basically went on, though, to say not to listen because Danny Bonaduce.
Did that bum you out? I'm sorry. But wouldn't believe it. It would just be a fluff piece of promo.
It'd be a fluff piece. Yeah. No, I was the nicest article anyone had written about me because I've had a lot of articles written about me, but they never really, they just go, it was funny, or they get a few facts wrong or something like that, but they never really delve into what I'm attempting to do.
I remember listening to Loveline in the early 90s. Were you guys doing
it? I was there from like 96, 95.
And what I, you know, so. One, I remember because I was always really interested, and this is ancient history, in the way that the AIDS crisis was... represented in the media and the sort of hysteria around the idea that everyone was going to get HIV. The heterosexual community was going to get it. When I was at Vassar, they would run around saying lesbians on this campus have HIV and they're going to give it to other lesbians.
Jeez,
and you guys, there. You were
You should
go there. You should do an event at Vassar. Yeah.
What country
So I actually appreciated the way you guys were giving really, you know, helpful and realistic advice without buying into a lot of that hysteria. Not to imply in any way that it wasn't a real problem for a lot of people.
I think the problem, the thing that makes me angry about the left is they think it's okay to lie as long as your heart's in the right place, which is as a parent, you can tell your kid marijuana will kill you, even if you know it's not, because you don't want your kid to do marijuana. So if your heart's in the right place, then it's fine to lie. So if you don't want people to smoke, you just tell them 53,000 people die every year of secondhand smoke, and that's good because your heart's in the right place. Meanwhile, 7 people die every year of secondhand smoke, but it's okay for you to lie because your heart's in the right place.
How do they prove that? How do they quantify that?
They
don't, I'm not saying you're wrong.
Drew pulled out an article in JAMA about 5 years ago, and it said they thought 7 people have died of secondhand
smoke. I have that with me, too. I'm going to read that.
Please, it's only 18 pages.
I carry JAMA with me all the time.
That's what they said. They had no agenda. It's just that's what they thought. 7 people had died of secondhand smoke. Surely 53,000 people don't die every year of secondhand smoke. And by the way, what happened? It was a first-rate killer 5 years ago. Where's it gone to? Here's the problem, and here's the thing. Nobody dies of secondhand smoke. If you want people to stop smoking cigarettes, good. Focus on that. Don't lie. Well, Megan, I'm inviting you over to look at my floors.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah.
I'm not exaggerating. I'm going to go home and drive into a wall on the way home.
Because well, don't kill yourself. You'll never see my painted floors.
Okay, well, now I'm going to paralyze, and then I'll go over.
Megan, Dom, the name of the book, I'm going to pick it up, is Life Would Be Perfect If I Lived in That House. It is out as we speak.
Bet online. Sports are coming back. It just keeps opening up. It's nice, right? Here's your chance to bet on them with our exclusive partner, betonline.ag. MLB is back. NFL camps, they've reopened. NBA is in full swing now. Plus UFC. Lots of UFC. UFC never really slowed down. Boxing, NASCAR. NASCAR's back too, yeah. No shortage of ways to get in on the action. Visit betonline.ag today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of the Welcome Back Sports bonuses. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. And don't forget promo code Podcast One for your free sign-up bonus today.
And that was a very insightful Megan Dom talking to Adam. And yeah, as Gio said, they've had sort of a reunion recently. She's appeared on the Adam and Drew show and the Adam Carolla
with
show.
Quarantine and everything being remote, it's so funny how everybody gets to have a chance to have a reunion now, but not in person.
Right. Either way, we're just happy that people can still exchange ideas and have a good conversation.
It's almost as if, though, the remote part of it makes it more likely to happen, which is a weird, almost cosmic irony.
It really is. I'll tell you this. We have had the least amount of cancellations because of the quarantine. All right, let's get going with another clip. This one features Billy West. He used to come on the podcast and on the radio show. Many people know him from his voices on Futurama, the M&M's commercials, Bugs Bunny, and like the Looney Tunes universe in the newer
Ren and Stimpy,
Doug. Everything. Yeah.
OG Doug. If you had a childhood between 1987 and 2003, you know Billy West. Futurama, Fry, one of the most beautiful characters in all of media. And this is the aforementioned episode that you discussed earlier. This is the format flip. This is the very episode when Teresa and Brian rejoin the show for every single installment, but to recreate the radio format. Adam Carolla Show 333, May 31st, 2010, aired the following day, June 1st, 2010. Adam Carolla Show Reborn.
Billy, sorry.
I was going to say that I did that Geico commercial where there was a suave guy going, you know, can Geico get you a better deal in insurance? And he goes, does Elmer Fudd have trouble with the letter R? And he comes in, he goes, shh, be very, very quiet. I'm hunting rabbits. Cut. Elmer, that's rabbits? Rabbits? They carried out the commercial thing.
Yeah.
But it was done so well, minimal dialogue, and I said at the end of it, I walked off like an actor would that's totally frustrated, go, this guy's beginning to rub me the wrong way.
It was you doing, you were doing Elmer's voice,
yes.
But you didn't do the announcer.
No.
Oh, the announcer guy's on camera.
Yes.
In that spot. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's kind of creepy looking. He sounds older than he looks. Who is that?
It's from the brothers from McMullen.
McMullen? Oh, that's the guy?
You know how you could be so good looking that a guy, and it's almost like bizarre? Like those waxy, chiseled
chin. Yeah, the guy from TMZ.
Yeah.
Oh, TMZ, who's that?
Max? No, that's cute. That's not so good looking. You look like you're out of a movie from the 50s.
You mean like a Kirk Douglas kind of
Just a thing where your chin is so pronounced, so strong.
I can't eat this.
Yeah. It's Kirk Douglas, by the way.
Yes. Thank you.
But not can you do him now?
There you go. What voices do you do on Futurama, Billy West?
I do right up on the screen there. It's great that you have visuals. I was looking at Brett Michaels, and I said, did anyone ever A-B a picture of Rhoda?
Oh, he does look a little like Rhoda with the headband
on. He needs the hoop earrings. And
Yeah.
I do Philip J. Fry, 25-year-old pizza delivery boy. And if it wasn't for me, Billy West would be driving a truck full-time. And I do Dr. Zoidberg, a crustacean doctor who has all this cool meat hanging off of his face.
Right.
And young lady, bring me a sandwich from the dumpster and leave the nuggets on it. And he's got adopted a lot of Curly from the Stooges. I was a total Stooge homo, you know.
Right.
You knew that. I mean,
here.
I like the lower brow. Marx Brothers was a weirder acquired taste, but
yeah.
But Curly, I throw anything from the Three Stooges that I can into almost every show I've ever been on. Where this lobster doctor, this crustacean, when he runs off, he goes.
It is. It's weird because, I never really got into Marx Brothers because they were like too smart when I was too stupid. You know what I mean? Like the Three Stooges were easy to get. It was sort of like Monty Python when you were nine. You just couldn't.
Yeah, you
couldn't
didn't
take
understand
it in.
It.
You couldn't really absorb
it.
Hello, room service. Send up a room.
Right
over the head.
Songs about philosophers. You didn't know who Heidegger was.
There's Brett Michaels and Rhoda, by the way.
Yes, oh my God, we did
look,
it.
They do look almost exactly the same.
We should post that.
Yeah, they got a picture of little Steven when he was with the E Street Band.
Yeah, all the guys.
All the Rhodas.
Pirate. Yeah, bandanas.
Well, now like bestiality is mainly the purview of men. I think the Stooges is only something men really understand. Oh. I do not get it at all.
No.
What about
And you're right.
It's in. It's in. I told you it's in.
Oh, is that more bestiality?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
It's in.
Is you fucking a cat?
I thought that was like a.
It's like
that's a Three
Garfield?
Stooges.
What a cunt! What a cunt! The cat.
You didn't have to say it twice.
I said it once.
Billy, are you married, Billy?
I was.
What happened?
Bad chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, no one goes into it with failure on their mind.
Right.
You know, you always think you're going to be the exception because, you know, statistics say that you're not going
to
make it the whole way.
Right. Sure. But
How long were you married?
About 12 years.
Hmm. You think about getting married again?
I got a girlfriend or two that I go see, and I'm getting my love advice from a gavone from fucking New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Jesus, I think I might go over and just, you know, have some laughs with her and have some fun. And listen, you take her. You go over there and you take her and you fuck her. You know, and that's his romance advice, you know.
Right.
And he used to do Sinatra. He used to sing like Sinatra, and I'm thinking about him. Take her and fuck her and tell her you love her. You know, and that's Gavon wisdom.
So, probably, pardon the, I'm thinking of, oh, wait a minute, someone's got headphones. Oh, what, Billy wants to put his headphones on? Yeah.
Teresa. Oh, I see. Do you want me to turn this way?
Here, you take my headphones.
Yeah, you got yours to the right.
Oh, I see.
Now, we're going to do a little What Can't Adam Complain About? I think we had some of those questions.
What can Adam... Okay.
What can't Adam complain about?
Can I ask a question?
Sure. Sure. Go ahead.
Can you complain about the pot clinics and the people that go there that are in perfectly great shape, except they all have cancer? And
well, I can make a couple... I have a couple thoughts on all the pot clinics. It used to be... You'd have to know some dude who lived in Canada who would send you pot like once every 6 months in a package. It was packed in coffee grounds. Now you throw a rock and you hit 9 of these pot clinics. We don't need them all on the same street. There's more pot clinics than ATMs now. And actually, Jimmy Kimmel brought up a very interesting point to me, which is he said, have you noticed that the pot dispensaries came back about the same time the cupcake
made its renaissance.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because
there must be a correlation.
Cupcakes disappeared, and now there's 500 high-end cupcake shops on every corner,
yeah.
And right across the street is the pot place, and now they just start stacking them. Like
right.
Upstairs, weed, downstairs,
crumbs.
High-end cupcakes. Yeah.
Yeah, or
go
sprinkles.
To sprinkles downstairs and go to...
Synergy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're
it's
right.
Great. But why do they keep, like, they give you it in some way or other, but they don't decriminalize it. It's still always in the hands of some
Look,
element.
It's one of these things, and I say it all the time as it you know, pertains to society. You know, whether it's don't ask, don't tell in the military, or, you know, gays being able to marry, or pot being legalized.
What did you say? My ass don't smell?
I said I want your people to get married. The point is this. It's going to happen.
Your people.
So let's not drag our feet. Because here's what makes you dumb as a society. Not the initial fuck-up. Like, the initial fuck-up kind of makes you bad. Like, you go, hey, we need a drinking fountain for the Schwartzes and the white people.
Right.
And by the way, I always ask, what about the Mexicans and the Asians?
Which I don't give a damn about no Mexicans. Which? I have a hard time since I was a baby.
Yeah, but if you're Mexican and you're in, like, Mexican. Alabama in 1959, and you headed to the white drinking fountain, wouldn't somebody club you? Do you just drink off the hose?
It's a good question. Jim Crow didn't address that.
Right. He should have done that. And what about the Jews? They weren't fans of Jews. At least the Klan was. But anyway, the point is this. Oh, you guys can't use drinking fountains because of your nose. Anyway.
Well, I mean, you have to get the right angle.
But, I mean, some of us have low water pressure. You really got to get in there. And you guys can't get that big beak in there. So point is this.
Yeah, they got big nose.
Yeah.
You know why? Because the air is free.
You guys have wide noses.
You like
long
stupid
ones.
Jokes.
Yeah. All right, so... My point
hey,
is...
What the Israeli raid on Palestinian flotilla?
Yeah.
Was Commander Joe Lieberman commandeering that whole thing? Or what? He a Zionist.
You're going to blame Joe Lieberman?
Wait a minute. I'll do it as soon as I can get my nose out of Israel's ass.
That's a
right.
pretty good Lieberman.
Now, let me say this. Here's my point. My point is... It's not that you make the stupid laws in the first place. You can't help that. Societies always do that. It's that you don't recognize them and do away with them, like the bestiality law in Florida.
Yeah.
And all I'm saying is, how many years are we going to spend arguing over the pot? How many years are we going to spend arguing? I mean, this don't ask, don't tell bullshit's been around
oh,
for 20
it's
years
ridiculous.
Now. Who gives a fuck? Let's move forward.
And somebody must be making money somewhere.
LifeLock, 2019. Data breach of MGM Resorts impacted more than 142 million hotel guests. That's right, the hackers took the data, put it for sale on the dark web. Cybercrime marketplace, man. It's going for $2,900. That could be your information. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day. We put our info on the internet, and you're out there. Now, look, it's convenient. It's great. You're ordering things. You're ordering food. You're taking care of business. You're doing it all from the comfort and safety of your own home, but your info is out there. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number, for sale on the dark web. Protect yourself with LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats that you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Here's the real question. 50 years from now, do you think it will be illegal to buy marijuana or to get married as a gay person or to be gay and open about it in the military? If the answer is no, then let's fucking move forward with our lives. You know what I'm saying?
The culture is evolving and there's no stopping it. So
right.
Let's just move on with our lives. By the way, it's just Memorial Day.
So
and,
deal with it.
Right.
And many of our troops are gay and lesbian, and they should be able to be out.
Yeah.
Although, a lot of them are cops, too.
Yeah.
You know,
although,
they,
when we
West
say
Hollywood
lot,
police.
We say,
that's true.
When we say...
Drop your pants and come out with your ass up.
We say a lot. We mean a lot less than 1%.
I heard that 15,000 troops were relieved of their duties. Because they were gay and lesbian,
yeah.
So, thus far.
Yeah.
It's quite a few.
I'll really mother do. All bottoms, evidently. Well, you're going to be relieved of your duty.
This is such a great little setup.
Thank you.
You're talking about duty and bestiality.
All right, Donnie, are these phones working, by the way? was thinking about
taking a call.
What happened at the other radio station, the other joint?
They flipped.
So what happened to Tom?
Tom Likas?
Yes, what happened to Tom?
He's just hammering checks up north.
Wait a second. You should start getting your advice from him on women. Because he really knows how to tell, you know what
if
I mean?
He can talk to anybody about anything. We got Pedro in the car phone. Hello, Pedro.
Hello, Tom.
What's on your mind?
I want to talk to you. You've been bagging on the chupacabra like it's not real, but it's real and shit.
Chupacabra. Oh, the chupacabra. That's right. For people who don't know, it's this mythical goat-sucking vampire creature that apparently only Mexicans can see.
Tom Likas has to resurface at some point,
right? I miss the man. All right, now listen. We have the rest of the news to do.
Yeah.
We have What Can Adam Complain About?
Got an intro.
We got an intro. Yeah. Let's hear it, Paul Bryan. By the way, hold on a second. I'll tell you what Adam complained about. Fucking phone's not turned on. Donnie to come in here and turn the phone on.
That's a problem.
Yeah, well-oiled machine.
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man can complain about it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
Welcome to this week's episode of Adam the Complainer.
Hey, Nathan.
Hey.
Nathan, you calling from Singapore?
I'm calling from Singapore. Do you even know where that is, man?
Yeah, it's in China.
Not in China.
You know what I like about Singapore? The cane people. We got to get back to fucking caning in this town.
They'll cane you for vandalism.
Why the fuck not?
Okay, come here, American plick.
Well, the thing is for sure, this place is pretty damn clean. So,
how much graffiti is there in Singapore?
None.
Well,
maybe like two walls or three walls.
Why? Yeah. Is it because everyone's a saint or because they'll cane your ass if they catch you with a can of Krylon out front of the
I think it's the cane.
Okay, fucking works. And by the way, it's not going to kill you. We should start caning people.
Dad did it, so why not, you know, just go for it.
I know. All right, sorry. Go ahead.
I just got a question for you. What do you have to say about cover bands? Cover artists, people that make a living off other people's music, you know?
What can't I complain about as it pertains to cover bands?
Yep.
All right.
I don't know if he quite understands the nature of this bit.
It sounds like you don't like cover bands, yeah. Nathan. Listen, I'll tell you one thing about cover band. I'm glad you call them cover bands because I don't like it when people call them tribute bands. Same way, I don't like when they change the cockpit to the flight deck.
Right.
And I don't like when the people don't go, not victim of rape, rape survivor, you know, and that kind of shit.
We already have words for stuff and people change the lingo.
It's called a cover band, it's called a cockpit, and it's called victim of rape.
Right.
Do you like
that? Would be my cover band, by the way.
Victim of rape?
Victim of rape.
But
come to the Viper Room tonight, Victor. It's goofy name night. Victim of rape is playing.
I'm an Eagles cover band, and it's based on that Victim of Love song.
Tribute bands take a line from a song.
Right.
Right.
And they call themselves that, but I'm thinking of more obscure ones.
Right. Yeah.
Like a Beatles tribute one. Everybody's green.
Apropos, I just walked into of nothing, and I walked in my kitchen this afternoon. I said to my wife, I'm going to name a song that I know you hate. And then I said, Heartache Tonight by the Eagles. There's going to be a heartache. And then I said, she said, I hate that song. I said, that's why I married you, baby. Because that fucking song blows just like so many fucking Eagles songs.
Yeah,
that's a terrible song.
She should be listening to good songs like, Goodbye to You, My Trusted Friend.
Yeah, Seasons in the Sun.
We that's had right. joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun.
In the sun. Yeah.
Man, that's the whitest motherfucker that ever crossed the radio waves.
Oh.
That ever tickled a ribbon of a microphone.
What would it sound like if Barry White sung Seasons in the Sun?
We had joy. We had fun. We had seasons in the sun. And now I'm going to put my head between your legs and...
Hi, T-Bone. You got the news?
I'm so into that.
I only did one What Can Adam Complain About, I know, because we're running late already.
It's nice to have a listener from Singapore.
I know.
It's nice of Nathan to call. But actually, this leads me right into a pertinent news story, which is that Joe Walsh...
How you doing?
Yeah.
...filed a restraining order against a man who was threatened to kill him.
Oh, jeez. Again?
Now, is he in or out of the Eagles?
I'm touring with him right
He's
now.
You're touring with him right now?
Okay. Yeah, what are you people? Under a rock?
That's what your wall sounds like.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Well, Joe... It's not clear why.
Do a little James Gang stuff. Just turn and walk away.
Cause the Rocky Mountain way is better than the way we are. How you doing? That ain't gum. You bump?
Do you get a lot of call for the Joel Walsh at like kids' parties and stuff like that?
No, but we got into it a little bit once at K-Rock back in New York when Howard was on FM radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Joe was doing a Friday night show.
Mm-hmm.
And his bodyguard, his handler, is the same guy that was with John Belushi.
Mm-hmm. Nice job.
Yeah, I know. And so one night, the record was playing, mm-hmm. and it kept playing at the end with nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he had fallen asleep.
Joe Walsh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he needed to pick me up. I don't know if he's into that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Smokey, this guy's handler, was like, what did he do with a track record like that? You know,
can you do any other, you got any Eagles, any James Gang? Do you have any other jokes?
What was his big solo hit?
I got a Lincoln.
Life's
been good. 185. A Maserati does 185.
Life's been good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But Turn and Walk Away is probably his best guitar riff. Da-da-da-da.
Oh, yeah, Turn Away. That's a million years ago.
Turn Away is probably his best song. That's
you
a
just turn your pretty head and walk away.
That's it.
Boom.
That's what the restraining order said.
Wah, ooh, wah.
Yeah, find some Walk Away for me.
Let me see. What else did I say?
Go to iTunes and find some Walk Away.
You said that your neighbor in his 70s has threatened you and allegedly attacked your personal assistant, Joe. With a block of wood.
That's totally disrespectful. Number one, I'm 80.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be dissed by a wise-ass 70.
Oh, wait. Listen to this. Listen to this riff. Turn it up.
You're only
62. Walking my
path. Oh, no. I got to wait for it.
Okay.
Taking my time. Choosing my life. Trying to decide what to do. I ain't doing.
You know the song, T?
Yeah.
Turn it up a little. I like this
song. Yeah, I'm rocking.
Got a great, great guitar riff. Harmonize.
Seems to me there's a 70-year-old trying to kill me. Seems to me I just fence them out and turn and walk away.
Ow!
70 years old. I hope someday I can join the Eagles. Hey, I got my wish.
All right.
Now, why would somebody want to kill you when you're a 62-year-old rock legend?
Maybe he thought he was going to go out and sing Witchy Woman one more fucking night with the fucking shitty Eagles. Jesus Christ. Ooh, oh, cat's eyes, nine lives.
Raven hair,
please stop it, you hacks.
The tedium of Hotel California.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine emotionally having to get up for Hotel California every fucking night? Oh.
I hate the fucking Eagles, man.
Oh, that was nice.
Joss is 62. Why don't you just go to death in his sleep?
Witchy woman. Yeah. Oh, fucking witchy.
Did you like
woman.
The old Eagles when they had...
The Eagles are one of these bands where I go, you guys are a good band. You have some good songs. Now, please shut up and never play another one of them. I never want to hear another one of them.
You sure? You got to have something.
And listen,
that you like.
Radio, stop playing all their fucking shitty songs.
Yeah, because I don't get any royalties anyway.
Yeah, how about a little Walk Away? How about a little Joe Walsh? How about a little James Gang? How about the song we just fucking heard instead of fucking Witchy Woman for the 55,000th time?
Thank you.
Or Lion Eyes.
I hope Ass Cap.
I can't do without Lion Eyes.
I hope Ass Cap is listening.
Look, here's what it is. The Eagles are like, they are like Hall & Oates in that they've officially done more harm than good. That's the point.
You think so?
Yeah, they're like a veteran. You know what they're like? They're like Stallone in the first Rocky. Decorated war veteran.
Rambo.
Yeah, meant a lot to this country. Now he's killing innocent people on a mountain in Washington, and someone's got to take him down.
Geico. Right now, Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. 15% on top of the money Geico could already be saving you. So what are you waiting for? Let's get to getting, man. There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. Save that 15%, and you should be with Geico anyway. You'd be saving already. And then the 15 on top of that at geico.com. No one should feel unsafe at home, period. Fear has no place in your home, and that's why they're Simply Safe. They want to keep you safe. That's been their mission since day one. Protect your home. Do it today. Free shipping as well. Simply Safe. Two eyes. SimplySafe.com/Adam.
And that was when the Adam Carolla podcast turned into the Adam Carolla Show. Now, Gio, I remember this day. For the last few days prior, I was handling a lot of the sound and working a lot of the technical stuff in the studio because I have now started there. And Mike Dawson walks in. Now, I've never met him, but I knew who he was just because he would send us his voiceovers at the end of every podcast. He would email me an MP3 of his voice, which I would have to tack on to the end of an Adam Carolla Show. But now I finally see him. Mike Lynch walks in. Brian and Teresa return. And I'm thinking, what is going on? And everyone's like, the gang's getting back. Producer Angie walked in. And then Mike asks me, hey, can I work the soundboard? I think I should be able to do it. And I said, sure. And we got everybody situated. And the Adam Carolla Show just started. Now we were just kind of thrown into it. And
wow. So yeah. You didn't get like a heads up?
Did not get a heads up. At least, I mean, I was an intern. Whoa. So I didn't really know. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. I guess. But yeah, I remember just standing there and all these people just started walking in. And I went, what is going on? And everyone said, the band's getting back together. And they kind of just took their positions. And it's as if I was just
then
watching.
You ran in with like an amp and some drumsticks. Yeah. You're like, intern.
And I remember just looking around and just it looked like, oh, they've worked together for so long, and it's just they just recreated the radio show. I mean, everybody was talking and everyone was firing on all cylinders, communicating and getting the show going. And it was just kind of cool how smooth it went for just watching the entire show that I've been working on change completely that day.
Yeah, it's really interesting anecdote, man. I've never thought of it that. Now it's stuck with me forever. Thanks for sharing, buddy.
Yeah. So anyway, that was when the Adam Carolla podcast turned to the Adam Carolla Show, and that is what we have to this day. We still have that radio show format, and it's going very well. All right, that'll do it for today's Carolla Classics in the look into the history of the Adam Carolla Show. We'll be back tomorrow with some more anecdotes and some historical facts of this wonderful podcast. We'll see you there. Till then, my name is Chris Laxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo and get it on.